You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, December the 28th, and angst in Pistons land at 0-2. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. And you'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Hope you enjoyed the holiday weekend. The Christmas Day action wasn't as advertised for the NBA, and the Pistons drop one on Saturday night as well. But despite that, you're here, and you're back with us on the Locked On Pistons podcast during another holiday week. So we appreciate you guys and spread the word for 2021, which is coming up in a matter of days. Thank the good Lord for that one. Today we're going to wrap up Saturday night's game and put a bow on that. We're going to look ahead to tonight as well, the first of a back-to-back for the Pistons. And because of that, we'll talk about who is not playing in Atlanta tonight, what that means for the Detroit Pistons. We also have a new Piston to talk about. Brian's going to get us acquainted with him. And also I'll point along what I thought was a prescient tweet from the weekend from one of the dignitaries of Michigan sports Twitter, and why I agreed with it and what it kind of says about where we're going here as a fan base. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow at bshook12 and also the play_Michigan account as well. First, we'll start with Saturday today. The Pistons fell to 0-2, and Brian has the details for us and the game recap.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Garland gets doubled up near the timeline. He'll shovel it to Love off the Osmond. He's open for a three. He knocks it down.
The Pistons drop their home opener in double overtime 128-119 against Cleveland to fall to 0-2 early this season, letting two winnable games slip through their fingers, squandering late leads in both of them. The Pistons led by as many as 9 late in regulation, but failed to score over the last 4 minutes and allowed the Cavs to force overtime, where the Pistons again found themselves getting off to a fast start, but turnovers late allowed Cleveland to fight their way back to force a second extra period where Cleveland won going away. Detroit was led by Jeremy Grant, who had his best game in a Piston uniform, scoring 28 on 9 of 14 shooting and grabbing 10 rebounds to lead the team in both of those stats. Blake Griffin also had a hot hand from deep, shooting 8 of 16 from 3 and ending up with 26 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Fellow starter DeLon Wright also contributed 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists as the Pistons played themselves into a position to win but were unable to close the game out in what is becoming an unwelcome theme early in the year for the young Pistons. Derrick Rose had some late turnovers included in his 6 giveaways for the night, although he did score 13 points, which was tops off the bench, which also saw Svi Mykhailiuk contribute 12 but still not able to zero in from deep as he shot just 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. Former Piston Andre Drummond was able to match Grant's double-double with one of his own, scoring 23 and grabbing 16 boards, while also getting 4 steals and 3 blocks after shaking off a slow start in his first return to Detroit since being traded last year. The Cavs were led by Colin Sexton, who scored 32, and they also got 22 from Chidi Osman off the bench, including the back-breaking 3 late in the second extra period. Sekou Doumbouya left the game in the second quarter after being hit in the face driving to the basket, and didn't return until late when Jahlil Okafor had to sit with an ankle injury and starting center Mason Plumlee fouled out. For the second time this year, Detroit was unable to cover the spread, falling to 0-2 against it this year, but because of the overtime periods, were able to bring the over at 214.5 in. The Pistons will head south for a game tonight against the Hawks, which we will preview later in the show. This has been your Pistons game recap.
A second straight collapse for the Pistons in what we're calling an olive green letter game from listener Aaron about how these are the ugly ones, right? And folks, things might get rough if Detroit can't win a game in these next two. If you've looked at that January schedule, woo-wee, some tough games there. But Saturday night against the Cavs, who, by the way, improved to 3-0 with a blowout to the Philadelphia 76ers on Sunday. But against the Pistons on Saturday night in downtown Detroit, Jeremy Grant was great and Derrick Rose was not. And I think that the beginnings of what is taking shape in Troy Weaver's credit, I think that you're starting to see that the players brought in by Weaver seem to have a purpose and a role with this team going forward, and those left over might not in the long term. Now, in the short term, players like Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin, they are waiting out their stay here in Detroit. Both very good players, by the way. Don't get it twisted. And be careful what you wish for, because those guys won't be in the lineup tonight, and you'll see what happens here in Atlanta. We'll all see together. These guys are decent stewards for the franchise. They are leaders of the team right now. And they will make this team semi-watchable some nights and also maybe even help this team win some games every so often, maybe every odd night here and there. But Blake kind of needs to transition for his career's sake into being a complimentary piece on the court to further his career. Now, that said, there's nobody in that starting group right now that has the potential to take over in a lead playmaker, a lead offense facilitator role right now. Maybe in time that'll happen, but Blake kind of needs to do that throughout this season, which will be an awkward dance for him. Derek with the second unit, he's just built to run the show. He's built for this shit, right? He said that to us last year. And it works sometimes, like we saw last year. He wins games for you in the clutch. If the Dwayne Casey, Derrick Rose crunch time offense has been get out of the way, Derrick Rose do his thing. It's not super exciting and not super productive at times, as we saw on Saturday night, probably the worst example that you could even imagine of it. But it has worked at times, not super complex in its theories. But count me among the many, by the way, who think that the young players should all get a bit more of a shot. We're not going to go nuts about it right now, but I just think every single one of their roles should have been elevated about half of a level, especially when we're talking about double overtime, minute after minute after minute for the older players, especially Blake Griffin. In there, you had Mason Plumlee go out with the falling out, so you had another opportunity to get some guys in there. And again, we'll see all the young guys tonight, probably in cartoonishly increased roles, which will make Saturday all that more frustrating as you look back. And we'll see how it all goes. But I can't imagine. Brian's going to tell us about the spread later. I would imagine we're going to be in for an ugly one tonight in Atlanta. We'll talk about that and the injuries. And also the Pistons home again on Tuesday, second half of a back-to-back against Golden State. So an interesting couple of days here in Pistons land before we call it a year on 2020. But up next, Atlanta Hawks injuries, what to watch for tonight, and what could be an ugly one down in the dirty South. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brian here, and have I got the perfect way for you to start ringing in your new year. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all of your online betting needs this week. Are you ready for some football? College football is heading into the bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. The NFL playoff picture is becoming even clearer. There is only one place that has you covered and only one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The Pistons are back in action in the Dirty South tonight in Atlanta. Think they can get their first win? Well, the Pistons' money line is +330 for tonight, or if you think they're going to need some help, you can get them +9 points. If you aren't sure who is going to win but think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive battle, you could always bet the under with the game number set at 225. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA and the Detroit Pistons doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
Bang the over, Brian, with all your betting information there. But he's also got the game preview as the Pistons are on the road in the Dirty South to take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight. He's got the details, and I'll tell you about who's out here after that.
This is your Pistons game preview. The Pistons will try to earn their first win of the season again in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks at State Farm Arena. Atlanta has started 2-0 this year, and coach Lloyd Pierce will look to extend the season opening streak with his new look roster. This is his third season as coach of the Hawks, and Pierce looks to make the playoffs for the first time with a Hawks team that went 20-47 last year, including 1-2 against Detroit. Atlanta, like Detroit, had a busy offseason, but are still led by guard Trae Young, who is currently second in the league in scoring with over 36 points per game in this young season. He is joined again by emerging talent John Collins and also new faces Bogdan Bogdanovic and Chris Dunn. Some other new faces that have yet to play for the team are Danilo Gallinari, Rajon Rondo, first-round draft pick Onyeka Okongwu, and former Piston Tony Snell. BetOnline.ag has the Pistons as 9.5-point underdogs and the over-under set at 225. The money lines for the game are set at Detroit plus 330 and the Hawks minus 410. The game will tip off at 7:30 on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket. This has been your Pistons game preview.
Some information there on who will be on the court there from Brother Brian, and thanks to him. But the injury report was an ugly one for Pistons fans who are hoping for a victory tonight at the 5:30 report that came out on Sunday and verified by the 8:30 report by the official league numbers here. Blake Griffin out with left knee injury. Management, he will miss this game and be out of the starting lineup, obviously, there. Derrick Rose out with rest as well. The minutes piled up for those guys. Maybe the Pistons could be angling towards trying to win that home game against Golden State on Tuesday, looking at the two matchups, not wanting to play guys on a back-to-back there and thinking, you know, maybe that home game against the Warriors is a little bit more winnable there. Jahlil Okafor also questionable with the right ankle sprain that he suffered on Saturday night against Cleveland. And Sekou Doumbouya, he's listed as probable with right foot soreness. He went down, took the blow from Andre Drummond to the head, but also was kind of looked like he was favoring his lower body, and I think he might have injured his foot during that same play. Don't quote me on that. I don't know that that was exactly the same play. However, Sekou comes back in during the double overtime session after Mason Plumlee goes out with fouling out. Maybe that was the first overtime. I got to get my facts straight here. But Sekou, we'll see if he's able to play in some maybe some 5 minutes with Okafor out. Obviously, you would think the NBA debut of Isaiah Stewart will be coming tonight. And then on the at the Atlanta side, also some interesting stuff there. Tony Snell, as Brian mentioned, has not played. He will be out once again tonight. Onyeka Okongwu, my boy, Onyeka. How's that foot doing, man? Get back out there. Get out there for the first time, I should say. Now, to be fair, as I talked for months and months and months and months about how much I loved Okongwu, it was about 2, maybe 3 days before the draft that this foot issue popped up. So, of course, I defer to the experts. I defer to the teams, the medical people in the NBA about foot problems. I realize that a rookie that you're about to draft with foot issues is less than ideal. So apparently the Atlanta Hawks thought that this wasn't a long-term enough issue, or maybe there wasn't as much of a rigorous medical check given that we had the COVID protocols. So yes, the Okongwu foot injury should have been factored into any kind of draft evaluation by teams and, of course, dumb podcast hosts as well. So a little bit of a tempering of my Onyeka Okongwu enthusiasm. Hopefully he's back as soon as possible and can have some sort of productive rookie season before moving forward with what could and should and possibly will be a long career here in the NBA. But yeah, I got to hedge that a little bit given that foot issues have kept him out of a couple of games already. Chris Dunn, the free agent pickup, he is out as well after the right ankle surgery that he had. Gallinari, however, is questionable with the left foot contusion, and Clint Capella picked up last year in a trade from the Houston Rockets in a three-way deal. He is probable with left Achilles soreness. Brian mentioned John Collins. He was one of the players from the 17 draft that did not come up with an extension this past couple weeks, as opposed to people like Luke Kennard. So John Collins is an interesting one. Obviously, it was a nice pickup for the Hawks in that draft there in the late teens, but his future is uncertain in Atlanta. So maybe there is a trade possibility coming up there. A lot of people talking about how maybe this trade deadline, John Collins might be a name on the move. How does he factor in to the long-term plans of the Atlanta Hawks? You got DeAndre Hunter and Reddish there that were high picks for the Hawks on the wing last year. And then you got Okongwu and Capella as kind of the bigs. So where does John Collins fit in that mix long-term? Big question. So obviously he's a guy who garners a big salary and someone's going to pay him going into next season, assuming no injuries or anything like that. So maybe it doesn't seem like Travis Schlenke and the Atlanta Hawks seem to be that team. It's a team that made some big moves this past offseason. The Bogdanovich money, the Gallinari money, Chris Dunn as a pickup there. Those were unexpected in some ways. I think that the ownership's desire to make the playoffs was something that was kind of known throughout the offseason, but to throw all that money out around like they did, it's that awkward transition that the Pistons will be hopefully making here in a couple years, where you're just basically all about the young guys for two, maybe three seasons. And then at some point you look around and hopefully you've made a couple of strides in the standings at some point, small ones, I would imagine. And then at some point you look around and you say, we got to bring somebody in here. We got to start thinking about wins and losses, getting up to 500, hopefully beyond. So how do you do that? When do you do that? What kind of contracts are you looking at? The Atlanta Hawks are kind of a down the road look at what the Pistons could be looking at two seasons from now. And, of course, Trae Young is the world that the Hawks revolve around. He's the sun and the stars in the universe right now. And hopefully the Pistons can get their own kind of Trae Young. Now, I'm not talking about that type of player, but that type of franchise fulcrum that the Atlanta Hawks have. Hopefully the Pistons in these next couple of drafts can get a couple of guys that look like that. And however mold you want your team to look around, that's the type of player you get. But Trae Young is certainly one of those young stars. There's a lot of warts in his game. When it's bad, it looks bad, even offensively. Certainly the defense is something that you have to mask with other players on your team, and that's kind of what they've tried to do. But it seems like some of these offseason moves, you know, Chris Dunn is a defensive specialist. We'll see when he gets on the floor what they look like. But, you know, Gallinari and Bogdanovich, it seems like they're kind of pushing turbo and pushing bonus on that offense, doubling down and trying to outscore teams. And we'll see what this looks like. But Atlanta, a team that we expect to be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff picture, possibly in that play-in tournament. I would guess that they're probably going to be one of those teams at 7, 8, 9, 10 that ends up in that mix. Although the early returns are pretty good. A team that looks strong in the early going. And again, with the Pistons players that are out, you'd expect for that to continue tonight. And, of course, Dwayne Casey's rotations will be one that a lot of people are going to have their eyes on tonight as the Pistons and the Atlanta Hawks do battle at 7:30 p.m. in the dirty, dirty South, Atlanta, Georgia. But there is a new Piston to talk about and a great tweet that I want to pass along. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But, hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. You got the 18 amazing flavors now, including non-nut flavors and, of course, the nut flavors as well. The six new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake. You got the carrot cake and the apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs, some of my favorites from way back in the day, the German chocolate, the double chocolate. These are great, great flavors, and these bars are covered in 100% pure chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew as well. Built bars are healthy. That's what I always say is the second best part. The best part's the taste. The second best part is that you don't have to feel bad about it. Built bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. If you're like me, this is something that matters after a big holiday weekend. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're great for keto or whatever kind of low-carb, newfangled diet that you're doing these days. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Looking at a couple more shows to finish off 2020 here on Locked On Pistons, but already got some stuff in the mix for 2021. Looking at an exciting interview about what it's like to cover this team through Zoom and not traveling around the country. And also, the latest on the Fox Sports Detroit update. I know a lot of you guys are curious about the streaming and how Fox Sports Detroit's been locked out of some of those services. We'll dive into that and let you know the latest there. If you've heard something from your cable company or maybe the streaming service that you use about updates, let us know and reach out to us there here on Locked On Pistons. But there's a new Piston to talk about, and Brother Brian's going to give us the details there.
Every time I think I'm out, they keep pulling me back in. Thought we had introduced you to the entire Pistons roster through the Meet a Piston series, but Troy Weaver in the front office had other plans and went out and signed another player over the weekend. So today we look at Frank Jackson, a 22-year-old, 6'3", 205-pound guard. Jackson is from Lehi, Utah, and one of his AAU coaches claimed he was more skilled at his age than Russell Westbrook. He was a very highly recruited prospect and was a one-and-done at Duke University with coach Mike Krzyzewski, where he shot 40% from three. The Charlotte Hornets drafted Jackson 31st overall in the 2017 NBA Draft second round and traded his draft rights to the New Orleans Pelicans. With the Pelicans, Jackson moved between the big club and the G League, but has played in over 100 NBA games over the last 2 years, averaging over 7 points a game. Jackson signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder this offseason before being waived just before Christmas. Jackson will be a two-way player with the Pistons, but with Detroit opting out of the G League bubble, he will most likely stay with and practice with the big club, even if he is not on the active roster. A BBallIndex.com deep dive shows that Jackson was in the top part of the league at getting quality three-point shots, but near the bottom of the league at making them, something Coach Casey and his staff will be looking to improve. Jackson will be a two-way player with the Pistons, and this year, rather than being limited to spending 45 days with their NBA teams, two-way players will be eligible to be active for up to 50 of their team's 72 NBA games. And instead of having their salaries prorated by how many days they spend in the NBA, they'll receive flat salaries of just under $500,000. So again, we have completed the roster as it stands right now. See you next roster transaction on Meet a Piston.
Meet Frank Jackson indeed, and we might meet him as soon as tonight, as the Pistons will be in action minus Derrick Rose. Certainly we suspect that we'll finally see DeLon Wright lead ball handler at some point, and plenty of Killian Hayes on the court against Trae Young as well. Makes some sense to throw Hayes out there against a little bit lesser of a defender if Trae Young ends up with the defensive assignment of Killian Hayes. Maybe we could see the rookie from France go to work here really for the first time. Nice, really nice pass from Hayes to the baseline cutter. I believe it was Grant against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday night. But Frank Jackson, the signing kind of exposes a little bit of a what I thought was a deficiency of the offseason with the roster construction of the Pistons. If you have Derrick Rose, who is not going to be starting, he's going to be on a minutes restriction. I don't know if that's certainly valid as much this year as last year at this point. We'll be sitting out games, as he should be, given his age and injury history. You needed another point guard, unless DeLon Wright is going to be that guy in terms of starting point guard at times. And then Killian Hayes, to me, I have issues with throwing him out there starting point guard in game one, because now if he continues to struggle like he has so far in the early season, if you got to pull him from the starting lineup in game 10 or game 15, that's not a great start to his career, that he's got to be yanked out at 19 years old to start his NBA career. So to me, that is kind of a problem. And then when you have Derrick Rose struggling in overtime and Killian Hayes struggling as well, there's not that third point guard on the team that you feel can go in there. Now, again, DeLon Wright might end up being that guy, and maybe Dwayne Casey's trying to find him the right time to become that lead ball handler. But to me, a guy like Frank Jackson, or a third point guard type who's got some experience in this league. I'm not really talking about Saben Lee, because he's certainly even less ready than Killian Hayes at this point. That third point guard, that DJ Augustine type that the Milwaukee Bucks picked up, maybe not quite that expensive. We've seen the Jameer Nelsons of the world and the other veteran point guards that we've had rifle through this roster these last few years. Why isn't there one of those type of players out there? And now Frank Jackson comes in sacrificing the two-way spot, which should be a developmental type of spot. But you got so many developmental guys in the 15-man roster, Davidas Servetus, the draft picks from this year, including Saben Lee, who's already on a two-way deal, that you needed to use that two-way spot for a veteran-ish player to come in and play point guard. It was a strange one. It's just the way that it all came together is once again strange. And I know that this team, the point guard, the third point guard for this season, is ultimately not very important. But, yeah, you needed someone to help give the keys to the car to at some points, and Frank Jackson will be that guy here in the short term, and maybe he's even a medium or long-term solution. We'll see and be hopeful about what Frank Jackson can bring to the table for the Detroit Pistons. But, yes, it's a weird season covering a team, rooting for a team, tweeting about a team that's going through what should be a painful and long rebuild is difficult. We've seen, if you're on Pistons Twitter, and I think a lot of the folks that listen to the podcast are, so we do maybe talk about Pistons Twitter possibly more than we should here on this show, but there's the freakouts going on. I'm guilty of it myself at times. I'll be the first to admit that. I'm already talking about Dwayne Casey and the rotations, and I'll agree with those out there that say, yes, while it is only game two, it's also season three, and it's also season whatever it is for Dwayne Casey's career. We kind of know what this guy is as a coach. A lot of that's good, and we've talked about all the positives here, but the minutes distribution in terms of the veterans and the young guys is something that we knew was going to be an issue coming into this game, and to watch Derrick Rose flail away the home opener on a winnable game against the Cleveland Cavaliers was frustrating for those of us who think that maybe there's a different way. To see Svi Mykhailiuk not get closing minutes until Plumlee fouls out, I think he deserved those last few minutes in the fourth quarter, and the ball in his hands at times during the fourth quarter as well, given the defensive plays that he made throughout the middle of the game, in addition to some strong offense as well, getting to those two-point makes that he didn't have in the opener. I think that those are things that Dwayne Casey should have noticed and seen and rewarded Svi Mykhailiuk with some closing minutes. And I don't know how you can't get Isaiah Stewart 3 or 4 minutes sometime in those first couple games so he's ready to possibly go in overtime when Okafor gets hurt and Plumlee goes down with the injury. And, you know, should have seen more Sadiq Bey. The list goes on and on with this. And we're going to go on and talk more about this as time goes on. But with Pistons Twitter, I thought the world of Andy Isaac, who we've had on this show, who is a icon of Michigan sports Twitter, came out with, I thought, the tweet of the weekend saying, "The number of people trying to tell Pistons fans how they should feel about the team is bizarre. Please stop this weird obsession of legislating fans' feelings." End quote there from the tweet from Andy Isaac of World of Isaac. I couldn't agree more, and I hope that I'm not as guilty of that as maybe some folks out there are. We say it all the time. I'm not going to tell you how to be a fan. You can root for wins. You can root for losses. Completely makes sense on either direction in some ways, and that's your opinion. I'm still rooting for wins early in the season just because I don't want to watch an 8-win or 12-win team this season, but I don't want things to go off the rails completely for some of these young guys to develop in an environment where you're losing and losing and losing. But however you feel about that is fine. However you feel about the rotations is fine. We can all argue about it, and we can all have our strong opinions, but, you know, it's just got to, in my opinion, like Andy says, you do what you want, but hopefully we can kind of move forward as a fan base and not lose our minds collectively, whatever that means in your interpretation, on a nightly basis here in the 2020-21 season. But we're trying to not lose our minds here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, and I want to thank you guys so much for listening. Only a couple more episodes before the new year hits, but we appreciate you guys all year long in what was a strange year, but also a great year for the podcast. Brother Brian, so thankful for him, and so thankful for what he's brought to the show in the nuts and the bolts. And we're going to be using his services a lot going forward. So I hope he's ready for a big 2021 as well. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day. Enjoy Pistons basketball tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.